This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money's here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, welcome back, everybody. The show that doesn't go, WFO. Yes, we are back at a new time. Hopefully you guys have noticed that the show is now available 8 p.m. Wednesday evening. Not 7 p.m., but 8 p.m. That's the deal. 8 p.m., back at the old time slot, the old school time slot. WFO was created at 8 p.m. We live at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is where we're going to live from now on. So those of you who have been like waiting and clicking, refresh, refresh, refresh. What's up? Refresh. Refresh. Where is it? Refresh. Just wait for that push notification that we send out when the show is available, and it'll be 8 p.m. Eastern time. But then a lot of you are listening on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or like 2 weeks from now. Like many of you. Rich and Saugus was like, I'm 3 weeks behind. That's not how he sounds, by the way. But it just happens. Rudy's another one. Our listeners, they're all in their own time-shifted worlds, which is fine. But we're making the show available at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And there's a lot of reasons why. And do you care? No, not really. I don't think you care what it's all about. But we got a lot going on Wednesday with our great friends, the folks from Poker Action Line. They come in and out and all kinds of stuff going on. And so it just seemed like 8 o'clock would give us more time to relax on the show. Now, if you listened to last week's show, you might have noticed that the tail end 20 minutes, we were like trying to get in all the different stuff we wanted to talk about. Just so much great stuff that we wanted to talk about. Trying to rapid fire it all in there. And then after the show, Gio and I are looking at each other. Did we talk about this? Did we talk about this? Did we talk about this? And I had three things on my pad that I didn't talk about. And how can we solve that problem? And the way we solve the problem is by moving the show to 8 o'clock. And problem solved. And there it is. And so we'll have a little more time to get in all kinds of stuff. And boy, do we have stuff to get into tonight on the show. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is it. Tonight's the night. Smokey and the Bandit Trivia. Here it is. Coming down. Eastbound and down. Loaded up, trucking with Smokey and the Bandit.
Eastbound and down.
Sheriff Buford T.
Justice,
Jerry Reed, the Snowman. I shouldn't say too much because I'm going to take away all our questions. I don't want to give up too much of the questions. But here's the deal. What we have done is we are extending the registration period for Smokey and the Bandit Trivia. I don't think we hit it hard enough last week. Now, we did have some people. We already have some contestants lined up. But we're going to back it up 1 week. Next week, we'll be Smokey and the Bandit Trivia. To register for Smokey and the Bandit Trivia, you got to call in 954-889-6796, or you could just email us. Leave us your contact information because we have to get back with you to invite you on to go through the process. It's a process.
We're not just going to give away stuff. We're going to make you work for it.
Well, yeah. And here's Gio, by the way. Now, what do you know about Smokey and the Bandit?
Great classic Americana movie.
It really is.
I've seen it a gazillion times. I mean, I don't think I'm up to date on all the ins and outs as much as you are.
Here's a little piece of
Smokey. But I know it was with Burt Reynolds.
The biggest,
Sally Field.
The biggest movie star of my life.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Burt, man. You know when he went to FSU, right?
Yeah. What was he? He was a quarterback or running back.
Big man on campus, man.
Burt. And since everyone of our generation knows a lot about this movie, and everyone of the generations behind us need to know a lot about this movie, we're going to do Smokey and the Bandit trivia on the show. And if you'd like to register to play, and the winners get cool stuff from the WFO Radio Prize Closet, let us know. Register 954-889-6796. Give us your contact information. We'll get back with you next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, so you can play Smokey and the Bandit trivia. And I just kind of like talking over it, the Eastbound and Down stuff. And what's cool is I have been doing research, not that I need to do any research. When it comes to Hooper, I'm going to need to do research. But I got Hooper in there. But when it comes to doing the research, I have actually learned many things about Smokey and the Bandit that I did not know. And I have also found a lot of conflicting Smokey and the Bandit reports.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
That things that are just two conflicting answers. So we're going to have to keep our answers.
We're going to have to whip out the movie and
figure
it out.
I've got the movie. We're ready.
Well, I know you have it.
Smokey and the Bandit. I'm ready. Well, listen,
I'm ready. Got to watch it. We got to have a screening.
Here is a piece of Smokey and the Bandit trivia that I will throw at Giovanni as we're about to get into our discussion of the Bojangles Southern 500. And Carlos Hockenstuff says, well, if you're going to do Smokey and the Bandit trivia, and I informed him that the next round will be Cannonball Run trivia and that the next round will be Hooper, he goes, what about Stroker Ace? And he's absolutely right. So we got to have Stroker Ace trivia as well. But this is all as we continue to go down the road. I think we can milk Smokey and the Bandit for a lot. And so I ask you this piece of Smokey and the Bandit trivia just to warm you up there, Gio. When the year Smokey and the Bandit was released,
okay,
it finished overall at the end of the year, it finished second in box office earnings to one movie. What movie was the movie that beat Smokey and the Bandit?
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
I've got one of two in mind.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the one, I think it's Star Wars.
It was Star Wars. Yes, that is correct. Ding, ding,
there
ding,
you
ding.
Go.
See?
I'm the big winner in the casino!
Yes, you are. You definitely are. Now, where's the sound effect for when you get it right?
You know, you're just a
See, this
too
is
fast.
Why we're not doing Smokey and the Bandit trivia tonight.
That's right.
Because you're unprepared.
But well, next we week, weren't supposed to be doing this today,
but
so
next
I didn't
week,
have.
We will have all the wonderful, right? Won't we? I shouldn't
yes,
promise.
We will.
I shouldn't promise.
We'll have something.
Let's definitely get to thinking about it. But isn't that exciting? Star Wars is the only movie that beat out Smokey and the Bandit.
That makes sense.
And I remember seeing Smokey and the Bandit in the theater. And so, all right, now that everybody's up to speed, right at the very leading edge, the razor's edge of the program, what's going on with Smokey and the Bandit trivia? Totally.
Well, I won. What do I get? Do I get to go to the closet and just pick whatever I want?
No, we were using you as an example. I'm thrilled that you got it right.
I'm
I think
tired
that's
of
great.
Used.
1977. Star Wars. Speaking of which, new Star Wars.
Do you
want to
know what my second guess was going to be?
Yeah.
Jaws. But I think that was 76.
I thought Jaws was even earlier than that. You can look it up. That information is available on this internet thing. You should check it out. All right, let's get into the Bojangles Southern 500, where the opener, Matt Kenseth, wins. How about me coming up with that nickname, and immediately it just takes off.
And he wins.
The opener, even though he closed. This was a closer type thing. Kyle Busch opened.
Kyle Busch dominated early.
Nothing we say is actually legitimate, but it all seems to work
out. But it sounds good.
Did you find out the Jaws?
75.
75.
Yeah.
See? So it was not Jaws.
But I was right.
Dun-dun.
Oh, yeah. Scared some people out of the water to this very day.
Scared me out of the water. I didn't start getting unscared until Jaws 3D. Then I realized.
Well, we were a lot older then.
Then I realized, wait a second.
That one was really bad. That was the one at that theme park.
Yeah.
Underwater stuff going on.
The underwater theme park.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, when the glass broke in the Jaws 3D scene.
And it was coming at you.
That was 3D. I remember seeing it to this day. They used their whole budget on the glass breaking scene. The Jaws smashing through there. It's like, why is this shark following these people? And you know, there was another Jaws after that, where they're down in the islands.
Yes, Jaws 4.
Where
Revenge
Brody's
like
wife
that.
is fighting
Yeah,
Jaws.
The dog is, yeah, the dog. The shark followed her down south somewhere. Yeah, this was a very vengeful and angry shark.
The shark was really irritated. Well, I can imagine. I mean, the electrocution of the one shark and then the explosion of the other shark. And how did we get here on this supposed motorsports talk program? Listen, I always tell the people on Nitro, I say to them, I say, Nitro people, the Ignition Show is not like this. It's a little more loose, and it is. So let's get into the Bojangles Southern 500, where Kyle Busch dominated the race and was doing his Kyle Busch thing. Late in the race, he did have an encounter with Kasey Kahne, which we will discuss at length. But in the end, Matt Kenseth was able to get going real fast at the right time. He had a fast car all night, was able to hang at the front while Kyle Busch dominated. Now, this leads me to wonder, is Kyle Busch the driver that is the rabbit that is out there running as fast as he can, as hard as he can at all times to lead all those laps that we have heard about in every racing cliche movie? And Matt Kenseth is the driver that saves his stuff and gets up there and wins it at the end. I don't know, because Matt Kenseth has been the kind of guy who has really just seized the lead many, many times, thus the nickname the Sandman, and putting us all to sleep. But in this case, at this track, Kenseth appeared to do just that. Go out there, save his stuff, and do a David Pearson and steal it at the end. Now, the WFO Radio Handicappers did pick another winner for you guys.
Whoa! Bing, 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 bing.
You see, right again, there's another sound effect that you should have. It's kind of good. It's close enough. All right, half credit. You should keep a running list for all the opportunities for success sound effects. Or you could just keep going bing, bing, bing. It works for me. But we did pick another winner. More importantly than that, I picked another winner. That's three on the season.
You know, enough about you. The show.
Me.
Has picked seven.
Yes.
Joe has only picked three.
Yes. And how many has Gio picked?
A round number.
And how many has Tommy Noodles picked?
A round number also.
So me and Bob are picking all the winners this year.
I hate to admit it, but you and Bob, Bob's got four, Joe's got three. And but the weather's starting to warm up, and I get the feeling I'm going to start picking winners.
I hope so. But I have a three-win head start. I'm going to need it the way I pick at the end of the year. Now, there will be no picks tonight for the All-Star race, which was a little disappointing. Did not get the odds. Apparently, the odds maker guy at William Hill was had some sort of issue. So we did not get the odds officially. But it's okay. Let's give Tommy and Bob the week off as we get ready for the All-Star race with the segments and all of that. We got a lot to talk about with that. They have removed the pit road speed limit for the qualifying process. Muy interesante.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. They're going to be WFO down there. They're going to be spinning out, losing control. There's a lot going on. We're going to get into it all. And I'm sure the dirty hippie Rich York family is out there wondering, like, when am I going to drop the hammer upon them? Oh, you're going to have to keep waiting.
Oh, your time is going to come,
yes,
Rich.
Your time, dirty hippie household, is going to come. Because we are going to drop the Formula One hammer upon you at some point. Do you think we could get through the first segment without mentioning the Fernando Alonso epic victory and crushing the Red Bulls beneath his feet? No.
Domination in his home Grand Prix.
Ah, what a beautiful thing that was for all you Formula One fans. We got the big Kurt Busch Indy 500 test. That was kind of cool. Lots to get into on this show. So go ahead and get into it. Matt Kenseth gets out there, wins the race, and says it was cool to win the Southern 500.
Man, it's right up there. I don't know that I've had a win that feels bigger than this at this moment. So this is just obviously a really historic racetrack. The Southern 500 is one of the most storied and historic races that there is anywhere besides just in NASCAR. So it's pretty cool to to be able to stand in victory lane at this place with the same spot where all the other great drivers stood. So it's pretty neat race to win for sure.
I like that. I like Kenseth saying that. I'm liking Kenseth at Joe Gibbs Racing. I'm liking it. I'm thinking about it the other day. I'm thinking about this guy who is boring. But
maybe he's coming out of his shell.
Well, his shell, Kenseth has done things on and off the track that have aggravated a lot of people and kind of tainted his rep a little bit. Just being so extremely dry. But it doesn't even matter. It's not about that. It's about him as a driver. And he is clearly what Joe Gibbs Racing has needed. And we're going to get into exactly the potential of this this breakout that we're about to see or witnessing with Matt Kenseth. But first, he says, hey, the Camry was fast at the right time.
Through that middle portion of the race, I thought we had about a fifth-place car, and we just had good track position, or you know maybe would have been back a little farther. But we're somewhere in there. We just kind of got off a little bit. To start the race, we were really good the first two runs. And then we got off, and, man, we were trying. We just, with all them long green flag runs, we didn't have a lot of time to take a breath and make huge adjustments and do all that stuff. So, you know, those guys all worked together back there to make all the right adjustments. And fortunately, we got that caution with whatever it was, 25 to go. Had a really good solid pit stop, and we had great adjustments. And it took off in about three laps in that run. I told Wally, I was like, you know, if this thing goes green to the end, we might be okay. I mean, you'll never know if Kyle didn't have a problem if we were able to beat him or not, but that was certainly our fastest run of the day, and it was an incredibly fast when it needed it to be.
I think he would have been able to beat him. Kyle with the cut tire, which we did not mention while we were kind of running him down, as if he drove the tires off of the thing, which I think he did in a way. And he did also take out Casey Kane. Coming home second was Denny Hamlin. What a heroic story that was. I told you this guy was going to go out there and win. Instead, he finishes second. But still, Denny Hamlin, huge congratulations. Didn't you say he was going to finish second, or you said he was going to win his second race back? Something with the number two.
I said second race back he was going to win.
Well,
you know, I was off by a position.
Well, that was pretty impressive. And Denny Hamlin says that he is sore and he is tired, but he's happy.
I'm sore and I'm tired.
See?
You know, it just takes a while to... You know, it's like starting your season over with, and to start it back over at Darlington for 500 miles. I mean, there's some muscles that have gotten weak, and I've gotten, you know, pretty sore and just tired, mentally tired as well. So, you know, we'll have a couple of weeks really to rest until the next long event, and we'll be good to go then.
Wait until you're 41.
I got a back of a 60-year-old.
Ha ha. Jeff with the humor right there. Wait till you're 41. Jeff, so 41. I'm 40 and I feel great. Oh, by the way, I'm not 40 anymore. Wanted to tell you that. Now I'm 32. I've decided.
Huh?
Yeah. That's my new thing. I'm 32.
I don't get it.
I'm just telling people, since Jeff's 41 and then I said I was 40 and kind of broke my own thing, which is now to be 32.
So what am I supposed to tell people?
You can do whatever you want.
I'm younger than you.
You could say that. You could, what, 30?
Let's be real. Just a couple days.
Well, then I guess you're 32 also. Congratulations.
All right. Wait till my wife finds out. She's going to be happy.
Or disappointed. Hamlin says Kyle Busch is probably pretty angry.
He definitely won't be happy. That's for sure. You know, it's tough when you have a car that was as dominant as his. And then the last run, whatever happens. But, you know, it's just... It's part of the game of racing. I mean, you know, I know that I don't run as hard for the first 400 miles as I do the last 100, but it's just once you get track position, you never know what your car can do. The 20 didn't look like he had a winning car all race long until he got the track position, and then all of a sudden he took off. So whether it was just holding back and saving or wherever he was doing, he found an extra gear in the last run. But it is. It's always tough when it's a team car that overtakes you at the end. It's always more difficult.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And there's a lot going on right there. When you bring a guy over, new to the team, he's a veteran, he's a champion, and all of a sudden, he's lighting it up. Now, coming home third in his 700th start was Jeff Gordon, the 41-year-old. And Jeff, what a gutsy performance.
I wanted the 700 to be a memorable one, and I'm glad it wasn't like last year's memory where we... Bluetooth left her tires back to back. So this was much better than that. And you know, top three, that's fantastic. I mean, we needed this kind of performance, a gutsy performance, and for the points as well as to make this one memorable.
Absolutely. And they had to fight for every bit of it.
You know, we had a decent car during the, you know, before the sun really went down, the track cooled down. And then we really started battling between the balance from one end to the other, which is not uncommon here. Seems like you don't fight that quite as much during the day when the pace drops a lot more. But, you know, at night, that's what you deal with. Pace picks up, but the balance changes. So we start freeing the car up, and then the track started freeing up. So we start tightening the car up, and then we got a little too tight. So we just kept bouncing back and forth. But what I'm most proud of is that we just kept battling. We had, you know, good pit stops, and the last one was a great one. And, you know, great calls by... by Alan, you know, staying out when we need to stay out, coming in when we need to come in. And that last run was really the best the car had been. We got a good restart. And so, you know, fortunate to come home with a third-place finish. So, you know, very happy with it.
Jeff Gordon, very happy, came home third. Jimmy Johnson was fourth. Kevin Harvick, fifth. Kyle Busch, sixth. Carl Edwards, seventh. Juan Montoya, eighth. Dale Jr., ninth. And Ryan Newman, tenth. Want to remind everybody, download that WFO Radio iPhone application, iPhone and Android application, even an iPad application, to listen to the show for free. You can also gift it to your friends, which I think is very cool. If you have a friend out there, and you may or may not, who has an iPhone, and this only works on the App Store, you can go to the app and gift it to them and basically say, Lenny, Floyd, Sid, Johnny, I'm gifting you this app. Listen to it. These guys are okay. They'll kill at least an hour of your day listening to them with their nonsense, and you'll your day will seem 1 hour shorter. You'll either be screaming at us or you'll enjoy it. And that's usually how it starts. You scream at us first, and then we wear you down and you like it. And so gift the app to your friends in the App Store or just download it on Android. And I see Google announced today that they're going to have streaming music service, and they are going to make the Google Play Store easier to understand, which good luck with that. The Google Play Store.
Yeah, I actually had an experience with that today. Someone that I know got one of those new Galaxy phones, and I was telling them they should download the app.
And what happened?
Well, we got it done. Let's just say we got it done. It was not as easy as I expected.
No, it's not. That's the big
problem. That's the only thing. And
just finding anything in the Google Play Store. The Android app is a big investment in time and effort for us. And frankly, you can't navigate the Google Play Store. You Android
But tried
people,
to say that. They got it. And
got it,
they are connected to WFO all the time,
new
baby.
Listener, welcome to you, whoever you are, friend of Giovanni. That is excellent. I was unaware there were other friends, but now there's two of us. That's exciting. We'll be back after this right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just gotta pinch yourself.
They come like this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
A whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
WFO!
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Hey, this is Dylan Hart Jr., and you're listening to Joe Costello on WFO Radio.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. Joe Costello here with you. A lot to get into. I've been saying that a lot because there always is a lot to get into. We spent the Saturday night, Mother's Day preview night, watching the Southern 500, and a lot of revelations going on. A lot of revelations. One was, for me, and I'm always at odds with the broadcast team, always at odds, wondering what it is that they, or why it is that they don't see what I see. And there was actually something that I wanted to mention last week that I didn't get to mention. And it was one of those things when I was that I did not mention. And I'm going to mention it now. After we talk about Kyle Busch and Casey Kane. When Kyle Busch and Casey Kane came together, and Casey and Kyle were basically battling for the lead, and at the time of the contact or non-contact, Kane was in the lead. And Kyle went low and kind of touched the apron and then went up high and maybe or maybe not touched Casey. Casey then began to spin and crashed. He now was looking for another apology, by the way, from Kyle Busch, because those two have been getting together. In fact, if you're a fan of KFK, you have to hate Kyle Busch right now, right? Don't you? Isn't this guy ruining Casey's season? There's a couple of times where it's just good finishes have become mediocre finishes because of little tiny little mistakes by Kyle Busch. But that's not even what I'm talking about. I don't even care. What I'm talking about is, why is it that they cannot just say that Kyle Busch spun out Casey Kane? What was happening there? Well, was there contact? I don't know if there was contact. There might have been contact. There's no evidence of contact. And there wasn't. There wasn't evidence of contact. But we have been spending 20 years telling people these cars are so on the edge that if while they're in the corner, you could reach out and slap the quarter panel, you could spin them out. That's what everyone has always said for years and years and years. That's the analogy. So maybe there wasn't actually contact, but the spin was definitely the result of Kyle Busch. Maybe it was just the air. Maybe it was the 1-inch cushion of air. Or half inch, at very least the trajectory of Busch's car, right? The trajectory of Busch's car changed and began to go up the track and was stopped when it encountered Casey Kane, who then immediately spun.
I mean, just the fact that they had to go through all this song and a dance about whether he touched him or didn't touch him, and they went, I still don't know, I still can't tell. Clearly that had to have some kind of effect.
I agree. And I don't know why they twisted themselves into pretzels to not say that, look, Kyle Busch spun out Casey Kane. Was it actual contact? Was it air contact? Was it whatever it was? They tried to make it seem like Casey was driving so hard, he lost it coincidentally at the same time that Kyle Busch came up the track. And I guess that's possible, but it definitely doesn't seem to be the simplest explanation, the one we all just saw. And they went on and on and on about it, which brings me back to last week, something that annoyed me again. And I know, listen, if you know that if you've been listening to the show for a while, that I'm doing some announcing with the NHRA now. And this weekend I'll be in Topeka, Kansas. If you're out there, come on out to the NHRA races, the NHRA Kansas Nationals, and experience it with us. We're having fun. But live track announcing is very similar to play-by-play, and it really is. And it all depends on how you look at it and how you talk about it, and I don't want to get into the whole theory of it because really I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to find my way. I don't know. I could give you what I think, but you have three totally different audiences. One is at the track looking at what you're telling them to look at. One is at the track in the pit area who can't see what you're telling them about. And the other is at home, totally disconnected, listening on the NHRA.com member stream. And so you really have to please all of those people at the same time. And so I'm kind of choosing to over-inform, or at least trying. But even while trying, I'm not. So I appreciate what these guys are going through. But really, what is the key that is that I'm going for at all times, and what do I want? We have to, as play-by-play announcers or people who are inside the sport, and this is just my attitude, we got to try to prove to the people who are first-timers that this is exciting. We have to prove that it is exciting and that the sport is actually a good sport and viable thing to come to. And so what do we say? What do we say? Well, you have to point out when something exciting happens. And something exciting happened last week, and it went totally unmentioned. And I wrote it down in my notes, and I didn't get to it last week. And so...
So what was it, dude? I'm like, I'm over here. I just want to know what happened.
Talladega, green flag pit stops. Matt Kenseth is leading. Jimmy Johnson is running second. Green flag conditions. They're running around on the racetrack, nose to tail, couple of car lengths in between them, for a long, long time. And there's all kinds of play-by-play action about, oh, they're going around, and this is what's happening, and this is what's going on, and this guy's chasing down this guy, and I don't know if John's going to be able to catch him, and I don't know what's going on with Kenseth. Here we come, green flag pit stops. And here they come, down pit road, coming off the corner, down to pit road speed. And Jimmy Johnson totally outbrakes Matt Kenseth, passes him under braking before they get to the pit road speed line. He started out three lengths behind him, ended up one length in front of him, and takes the lead on pit road, gets serviced, gets off pit road, and now has the lead. Is that a lead change? Is that a pass for the lead?
Absolutely.
Is that a pass? Is that worthy of mentioning? Is that an exciting thing? What's harder? Holding your foot on the floor at a place like Talladega and just going around and, you know, maybe getting a draft and passing somebody? Or decelerating from 200 miles an hour to pit road speed, which I believe is 55 miles per hour, might be 45 at Talladega, outbreaking your champion opponent, seizing the spot from him, getting your pit stop done, and then driving off with the lead. Now, Kenseth ended up winning the race. But at that moment, that was the most exciting, most dramatic, most interesting thing that had happened. It was a great play-by-play moment. If it was basketball, it was a slam dunk. If it was football, it was a big touchdown. If it was a big pass for the lead where the driver actually outdrove the other driver. He did something that we could see that was visibly better. And you know what? They didn't even mention it. Never even got mentioned. It wasn't even discussed. And I was real disappointed about that. And so here's what, you know, since I'm all about just pointing out other people's failures, I wanted to mention that here on the show. So important that 2 weeks later I'm bringing it up. Which I don't know what it says about
me. No, it needs to be brought up. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be brought up. That's the kind of stuff that they should be pointing out to the casual fan.
It was a dramatic moment. It was a great thing. And there were even points you could say about it. You could say, like, what could you say? You could say that, well, the driver in the lead is at a disadvantage because he has no reference point, and that the second driver can use the first driver as the reference point and then catch him and then outbreak him, which is true. But they didn't say anything, nothing. And so I was real disappointed about that, so much so that it made it to this week.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm more disappointed in how they try to, like, frame it that Kyle Busch didn't really have anything to do with Casey Kane wrecking. Hey, at the very least, point it out there. You know what? I'm not saying he hit him, but just the fact that he went at him in that angle and kind of lost control could have had an effect on his car.
I wonder, since we're always talking about ratings and we're always talking about TV stuff, I really don't think that they're doing a great job of bringing out the quote-unquote what's exciting about this. Everyone who's given me advice about the announcing thing, they're saying, look, just tell the people what's cool about this. And that's like the rule of thumb. That's it. What's cool about this? What's cool about this? What's cool about what's happening right now? What's exciting about what's happening right now? And when the two leaders of the race, two champions who are going to be battling for the championship this year, come down pit road, they're under heavy braking, boom, 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 turn it, and one guy completely outdoes another guy, it deserves a mention. When two guys are dive bombing into the corner for the lead, and one comes up the track, and then the other guy spins as a result, you got to talk about it. It doesn't happen. Now, on to Kenseth. This guy's a champion driver. This guy was an NASCAR Rookie of the Year. This guy has consistently been a very solid, steady Eddie, David Pearson kind of character over there at Jack Roush. But then he leaves and immediately breaks out with three wins in the first
11 races.
11 races. All kinds of different things are immediately coming to my mind. One is Matt is, number one, proving his ability. Not that he needed to, but he was underappreciated as a talent on the radar over there. The Roush, Roush's drivers are always kind of underrated, underappreciated for a million different reasons. That would definitely seem so. But now Kenseth is proving it. After a couple of years of mediocrity at Roush, comes out and just gangbusters at Joe Gibbs Racing. So there's that angle. This might be one of the best moves we've seen in NASCAR in a long time. Kenseth goes to Joe Gibbs. Second angle is that Joe Gibbs so needed a Matt Kenseth.
Win-win for everybody right there.
Instead of dealing with the diva-esque, emotional, young, pro football-style athletes, the Kyle Busches, the Denny Hamlins, the guys with all kinds of drama.
Joy.
Joe Gibbs gets an old-school NASCAR driver who is looking...
He hasn't had someone there like that since T. Stewart left.
Yeah, and even T. Stewart was a lot of drama. Bobby Labonte.
But he was a winner.
Yes, he did win. He did win. But he was a lot of trouble. Remember, Home Depot almost dropped the sponsorship two and three times.
Goodyear
brought
was
a lot
upset.
Of negative
there was
publicity.
A lot of people upset. There was
he pushed that reporter.
That reporter girl was a little upset.
That was all unnecessary strife for the coach.
But he's on the medication now. Everything's
look, that's
good.
Not. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about Kenseth being no drama. No drama.
Being a great leader, a veteran, a stable, just a racer.
Shows up at Joe Gibbs and immediately makes the other teammates. This is how you win championships, guys. This is how. This is how. Watch. You want to know how to win championships? This is how. And Matt Kenseth, like him or don't, Sandmander, opener, whatever you want to call him, the best driver in 2013 so far across the board. May not be leading the points, but that team has been consistently fast everywhere.
He's had the best year across the board.
Everywhere. And that is pretty big.
27 career wins now for Kenseth.
Yeah.
Moving on up the charts. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to have a career year.
He could win the title. I'm scared he's going to win the title. I think he could win the title. This could be the year he wins the title. He's refreshed. He's new. He's been a threat for years. But so what? Let's recap. Reflects negatively upon Jack Roush Racing, number one. Reflects positively on Kenseth's leadership abilities that the second he leaves there, he's able to elevate. Because that's what he has done. He has elevated. Not just himself, but the whole Joe Gibbs Racing team. He's elevated. He goes to a situation where other guys are already there and flourishes and eclipses them. Now, Kyle may have cut a tire. They say he did cut a tire. And maybe that's what happened and Kyle would have gone on to win and we would not be talking about the story. But that didn't happen. Or did happen, and we're talking about this story. But I think the Kenseth story is very, very interesting.
I'm shocked because I'm one who's always kind of, I don't want to say poo-pooed, but at the very least downplayed Kenseth and his ability.
And we all.
But I think it was partially that the whole Sandman thing. He gets the lead and we all go to sleep. But I'm seeing a different Kenseth this year. And I'm really happy for him, and especially for the coach. He deserves that. Clearly, he's got an organization that should be competing for championships, and he just doesn't have the drivers that are quite ready to win them.
He was making some big plays on his own abilities, and to rein in these guys. And maybe Kyle Busch will be a champion. Maybe he'll be a champion this year. Maybe Denny Hamlin will be a champion. Maybe he'll be a champion this year. But Matt Kenseth is a champion. He has already won a championship. He knows what it takes, not in the chase, but in the previous format. And I think he's got something to prove on a lot of different angles. And, oh, by the way, he's making more money than he's ever made. Guaranteed. So very interesting stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into a couple other things. I want to remind everybody, though, Bristol Dragway, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. If you're in the Bristol area, get out there, get tickets, click that banner out on the front page of WFOradio.com. Father's Day at the NHRA Drag Races. I can't think of anything better. Plus, Thunder Valley, it's such a unique track, great atmosphere, all kinds of positive Bruton Smith-style amenities. Thunder Valley, you're down in the valley. I know when you think Bristol, you immediately think of the spaceship down there, but Thunder Valley is right next door. It's a track I've actually been to many times now over the years, and it is awesome. Check it out, the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Click that banner ad and get there for Father's Day.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear. Like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO Radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
So who did we just trash there? All of Roush Racing and the Joe Gibbs Racing drivers, and basically coronated Kenseth as the champ, pretty much, like in one quick segment. I'd love to know what you think out there. 954-889-6796. That is 954-889-6796. Plus, you can register to play Smokey and the Bandit Trivia, which is our new game here on the show that we're, like, all about. We just want to go back and have an excuse to watch Smokey and the Bandit, like, over and over and over again, right? Over and over and over again watching Smokey and the Bandit. I'm excited about it. I think it could turn out to be a good thing. And as far as the trivia goes, like, what are the categories going to be? Well, the categories are going to be something along the lines of Trans Am, Bandit, Snowman, Smokey. And you'll be able to pick a category. But these are just thoughts. Speaking of calls, got a call last week from one of our listeners out there, 954-889-6796, just to kind of retort to some of our thoughts. Love these things.
Hey, Joe. This is Going Chad from the Fantasy League. Calling from Gainesville, Florida. Just wanted to weigh in on Ignition yesterday. I have a few opinions on some of the things you said. A, I don't think you should shorten the races. I think that takes a lot of the strategy out of the races. And the smarter drivers like that, Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, those guys, I think those guys really can use the whole team aspect of the sport to their advantage. And it just makes everybody have to step up their game. And what you said about the mile and a half tracks and having more super speedways, restricted plate races, here's an idea. I don't even know if I completely agree with what I'm about to say, but it's a good idea. I think all the 1.5-mile tracks, mile-and-a-half tracks, except for, like, Charlotte, should be raced maybe once a year instead of twice a year, because a lot of them are raced twice a year, and some of those races are just boring. And I'm a truist. I'll watch every single race and every type of racing I possibly can, but some of those races are boring. My thought should be short tracks, you know, the three short tracks plus, I guess you could say, Phoenix and Loudoun. Those are pretty much short tracks. How about race those three times a year along with the restricted plate races? And then bring in Iowa, Rusty Wallace's track. That's a great track. They race that once or twice a year and even throw that one in the chase. So that's about all I have to say. WFO!
I like the WFO at the end.
Yeah, no, bringing it strong.
I like it. Going Chad from Fantasy League. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Let's think about what he has to say. And if you've got opinion or a thought about anything that we've expound here on the show, 954-889-6796. Regarding do not shorten the races. Okay, it's just an idea out there. I think it would be better if we cut 20% out. But his idea is different. He wants to eliminate the tracks that we go to twice if they're a mile and a half because they're a bit boring. See, I think that from a business standpoint, boy, you're cutting the legs out from under those track operators by taking away a whole event from them. Talk about damaging them when I'm just talking about cutting 20% out of the fluff. So we're both looking for the same thing, though. We're both looking to make those races and all the laps on them more interesting and important. He wants to do it by making it only one race. Think of all the tracks that we go to twice that you would only go to once. Kansas, Charlotte, Vegas. We would only go to those once.
Some of them is okay.
It's a business thing. Those track operators. You can't keep that infrastructure going with only one event. It's not, you can't do it. You're basically cutting the legs out of the track promoter. So you can't do that. Cutting 20% of the laps out of the race, I'm telling you, people may not believe this, but I'm promising you this because it doesn't matter because it ain't going to happen. You won't miss it. You won't notice it. It will only improve the races. It will bother the TV people because they will lose 20% of commercial availability. And maybe it will appear that, by the way, they would continue to run the exact same amount of spots just in the less time. And you'd have to deal with more side by side. But whatever. Now, his other proposal, to increase the number of short track and plate races, I like it and don't like it. I like it because I agree. I enjoy those races. I don't like it because I'm the only one. The short track races are not mainstream appealing. The short track races usually have low ratings. Even our great friend Anthony the King hates them, doesn't understand them. They're not going fast enough. They're not going fast enough. The beating and banging aspect, a lot of people are against the short track races, like Martinsville, even Bristol. Makes them dizzy. We, the diehards, we love and appreciate short track racing, just like we love and appreciate road course racing. I would add one of those to the chase immediately. I would immediately be talking with Circuit of the Americas to be there. You got to be there. You got to be at the Circuit of the Americas. And maybe even at some level try to figure out a street course race with NASCAR somewhere. That could be interesting.
Yeah, but how is the NASCAR going to look slow on that Circuit of the Americas?
The V8 supercars are going to be there. And they're approximately the same speed. The NASCAR card is...
Well, I'm convinced. I'm not saying not. I'm just kind of... And also, we're going to have to cut races if you want to add all these places.
Well, that's the thing.
So, you know, everybody just wants to add, but...
They've boxed themselves
in. For every race you add, I want to know who you're willing to take out.
Exactly.
That's it.
And you it's a very difficult message. As far as adding...
clearly,
well,
he wants to take out the mile and a half.
He wants to eliminate every
second mile and a half.
Mile and a half.
Good. Hey, he's got a plan.
He has a plan. And he wants to increase the restrictor plate tracks to 3 each, going to Daytona a third time, going to Talladega a third time.
I like where he's going, but I think your idea on that was just better. Get another track to become a third restrictor track. That way we just – it's a different actual track. It's still restrictor plate, but a new plate track. Instead of going 3 times to the same track, I don't know that one area can sustain a third race.
They can. Daytona and Talladega can barely sustain 2, but they're great for ratings. And that's the deal. They're great for ratings. And that is the deal. Just looking at the schedule, you've got Daytona has 2. Phoenix. Would you go to Phoenix twice?
I wouldn't, but...
I don't know that I would go to Phoenix twice. Would you go to Vegas twice?
The racing can be a little long sometimes.
See, that's what I'm saying, but going to the city, the market, people get excited. I'm sure they fought to get that second race. Of course you got to go there twice. Auto Club Speedway in California, would you go there twice?
Well, they
Michigan?
Always have.
That's why. But I'm wondering, look, at the end of all of this... We're just trying to add some more sizzle to the sport. And you've grown out to your max. Like Giovanni says, the schedule cannot get any longer. It can only get shorter. A lot of people think it's too long right now. It's the longest season in all of professional sports. What could you or would you cut? And the answer, everyone is going to say, no, nothing. This Darlington race, years ago, they were talking about getting rid of it. This is now one of the best races on the tour.
Well, they had that issue where they kept moving it around. They couldn't find a spot for it.
They found a spot for it.
Well, clearly.
This is the best thing. Mother's Day weekend, Saturday night, Southern 500 under the lights. That added sizzle. I think taking 20% of the laps out of all of these races is the way to accomplish the same thing. But I would like to see a new something. I always ask that question. Well, what's new? What's going to be new? This year, it's the Gen 6 car is new. And look, it's exciting. Will there ever be a new track ever again? You know, Homestead Miami Speedway was a new track. Texas Motor Speedway was a new track. Kansas was a new track. Chicago was a new track.
Kentucky
was a new track.
Was that the last new track they
going
had?
To the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was new. These are new tracks. Will there ever be another new track? And the answer is probably no. Because the schedule is totally full. Who will ever build? So what? We're in 20 years from now, we're going to be racing the exact same tracks? And the answer is yes. And that's why I think a place like California, let's do something silly with it. Let's make it a plate track. Let's crank up the volume on this sport. But then again, I appreciate the call. And that's exactly what this is all about. And a perfect segue into this week's Yahoo Fantasy Results, where Eat My Dust wins the week, 316. Barbecue Bob was 314. Hockey Kid, 314. Matman, X90 Racing was 313. And fourth, Eastern Competition, still playing. Way to go, Team Corso, fifth. Aviator Racing 6th, Finish Line Racing 7th, James Gang 7th, Team 14 7th, 8th and 9th, of course. And the Nitro Warriors rounds out the top 10 for Week 11. The biggest gainers, Eat My Dust. Now, isn't that someone we know? Eat My Dust? Wasn't Eat My Dust just introducing himself to us somehow recently? Hockey Kid, biggest gainer, 10 positions. Biggest loser, hello, Bob Smith. 0 points! Hello, Bob Smith. How do you get 0 points?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. That is the question.
Unless he hasn't changed his team for weeks and finally exhausted all of his starters, and now he's down to 0.
I will be letting you know very shortly.
Yes. But really, we need to know about black ice and the big black ice report. We'll do that after the break when we return right here on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank has come on board because he knows the WFO Radio audience are thrill seekers and bucket listers. And not only do you like listening to us talk about racing, but at some point you want to get out there and do it. And this is the perfect place. You might be a bracket racer. You want to get better. You want to win a track championship. Frank's got all the tips, all the secrets, the mental side of racing. But maybe you just want to drive one of these dragsters and get that sensation. You've done things like driving experiences and whatnot, and you want to do the drag racing version. Well, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is the place to go. Check them out. Go to frankhawley.com, or you can click the banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio. frankhawley.com. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called the champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFORadio.com.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at thundervalleytix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line, or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFORadio.com.
Well, look at that. Post positions revealed for this weekend's Preakness. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make a play, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make a play. Horses and horsepower here on WFO Radio. Horses and horsepower.
Ponies and ponies.
Ponies and ponies. What do you think? Orb takes it again? I think Orb takes it again.
The Orb, he's going to win the Triple Crown.
Really?
Nah, I'm just saying it. Somebody's eventually going to win the first.
Eventually.
So every time a horse wins the Derby, we can say that he's going to do it.
It's too tough. I was rooting for Normandy Invasion, just so we could talk about Normandy Invasion over and over again. And just, you know, D-Day, Operation Overlord, the Normandy Invasion. Like, what a great name. I don't even know if he's running in the Preakness. But I'll be out there in Topeka for the NHRA Kansas Nationals. Hopefully you come out there and you shout WFO. We're going to go to a big steakhouse, or at least I am, because I hear there's great steaks out there. I did not know. I did some research on Kansas. Topeka, Kansas.
Okay.
And, you know, it's obviously the capital, which is what? Were you smiling?
I just found that funny.
It was, Kansas was a big, big problem area in our nation's history. The 34th state, there was a big fight whether it was going to be a slave state or a free state. and they basically flooded everyone from the south and the north flooded that area, and they were all both pulling in different directions as to try whether or not it would be a slave state or a free state. And the abolitionists, so to speak, won out, and it became the 34th state as a free state. But then right afterwards, we went into the Civil War. But Topeka was a kind of a metropolitan area, cosmopolitan area, because there was a river and a railroad. And so if you wanted, dresses, you remember in Wyatt Earp and in the Tombstone, the dresses and all that stuff, you'd get that stuff through Topeka.
Oh, very good.
And it was kind of like a launching pad for the frontier lands.
And wow, even someone's doing their homework.
Absolutely. And even had its own auto company there, the Smith Automobile Company, from 1902 to 1912. They were building cars in Topeka, Kansas. And a Smith automobile was the first automobile to reach the top of Pikes Peak.
Wow.
There's my racing tie-in I'm going to use this week. Also, Topeka was where the landmark Supreme Court case Brown versus the Board of Education took place. The whole desegregation deal, which you may or may not have heard of.
I have heard of it.
Okay. Well, there was a big, you know, there's a big landmark there and all. So, Topeka, who knew? And everyone's telling me there's nothing there. It's like, wait a second, this is a historic place. But apparently,
but there may still be nothing there.
Yeah, no, I know. Site of some big time, big daddy tornadoes too, which I am not looking for.
I'm sure it's in that tornado belt or whatever alley. Sorry, tornado alley.
Yes, tornado alley. Now, let's get back. Last year at the race, or 2 years ago, they had big tornadoes. I hope I don't have to end up under an overpass.
Oh, gosh, that would be horrible.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that aspect of it. But say, hey, come on out. Kansas Nationals.
The weather's going to be fine.
Yeah,
don't worry
it's
about it.
Gorgeous. All right, we already gave you the top 10 in the Fantasy League. We're trying to keep on a schedule here. But now it's time for the Black Ice Report. Giovanni, take it away.
Good news, bad news.
Okay.
Black Ice has fallen from second overall to seventh overall, dropped five positions. That is the bad news. The good news is he's actually only 39 points behind the leader now. So he closed the gap on first place, but somebody came over the top is what happened.
It's a dogfight up front. It's a dog.
Bunch of guys came over the top.
Look, you know what? I don't want Black Ice, who is out there listening and no doubt has got the graphs and the charts out and he's really working hard. I don't want us to alter his strategy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Maybe he wants to save some drivers for the end of the year to make a charge, and us demanding that he take the lead at some point
I see what
will
you're
alter
saying.
What he wants to do.
Right.
So I want to put that out there. Hey, Black Ice, I know you're battling for the overall title. If you got a strategy plan, do it.
I'll tell you what I've always thought. I like to save Jimmy for the end because Jimmy usually comes on strong.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that if you pick a guy and he won the race, whether it's the fifth race of the year or the 25th or the 35th race, it almost doesn't matter if you got your full points for that driver and you used them up the first 10 races. If he got you full points and won, you know, he won all his races then, it doesn't really matter. You got the most you could get out of that driver.
When you start your guys, they need to run well.
Correct. That's it. That's just it right there.
They're the other side of it. When you start your guys, they need to run well. You can't waste your starts. See, I like to have options at the end. I like to have options. And so I usually spend an entire season saving drivers and then having options. Spreading it around, and have options. And it's not working.
I've always found that then at the end, I'm kind of trying to decide. I've got too many guys, and I'm not using all my starts on them.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think you ended up wasting.
That ends up happening. But I don't know. That's why Rich York, he always goes out and he charts his whole season. Every
like
driver.
Like we say,
everything.
It's good to be rich.
Yeah. All right. Here's the updated. The segment that I'm now calling Results and Insults. You like that?
Yeah, not bad.
Where we celebrate the winners and mock the losers. Black Ice is up by 266 points over Team 14, who is currently second. Millerman 2 Brian is 30. My Dust 4th. Team 29 is 5th. And Team 14 and Team 29 are buddies, and they are now in the Thunderdome deathmatch. They have taken it upon themselves. They like the idea. Loser loses his team name. And I think it's another new thing that we're going to do. If you let us know if you're in the league with your buddy or your friend or your wife, we will match you up, and whoever is loses amongst you will be ridiculed.
Yeah, we love making fun of others.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Team 29 is fifth. Los Jincones is sixth. Aviator Racing, seventh. DRT 99, eighth. Big Mike, ninth. And Rich and Sog is 10th. Way to go, Rich. Still in the top 10. Finish Line Racing is 11th. Brian Louisiana is 12th. Let's see. Kyle Means Petty, 13th. Mrs. Dirty Hippies. Look at that. She's down one, 16th. Slipping away. Slipping away. Come on, Mrs. Dirty Hippies. Got to pick it up. Missing the big championship opportunity. It's slipping away. But she's 430 out, but not really. Because if Black Ice comes back to the pack, she will be only 200-something out. The race is for second. Everyone needs Black Ice to cut a tire. Patrick's NASCAR Rubbin, down 5, 19th. Man in Brown, 20th. He's behind his buddy. Clearside, up 4, 24th. Hockey Kid, up 10, 20, also 24th. Dirty Hippies, down. Plummets, one position.
Oh, he'll tell you how busy he is.
27th. NAR, down 5. Car Acrobatic Team, down 2. It's much more fun to talk about the people who have plummeted. Arlo Automotive Limited, up 8. I wanted to say something positive about somebody, like Tom's sweet cat.
Meow.
Up 6. Super Trucker, down 1. Noodles Motorsports, even. Tommy finds a way to be even. Matman, up 9. Going Chad, 288. That's who we just heard from, down 14.
Not a good
going
week.
Going Chad, down 14. Night Kids, down 3. Gray Bear, down 3. Geo, down 3. Barbecue Bob, up 8. 001 Red, up 3 to 49th. Let's see. Hooper, down 16. Oh, Paulie the White Guy. Plummets. It's horrific. Like the Hindenburg. WFO Joe, down 4.
Kramer Power.
To 58th. Kramer Power, even. Let's see.
Money Man.
Oh, what's
money
up
man.
With the Money Man?
Dude,
what's
did you
going
quit?
On,
what's
money
going
man?
On, Money
did.
Man?
Money Man is 755 points out of league. And I know what I'm going to, what he's going to tell me if he's having the same kind of year that I'm having. You just can't do anything right. Can't do anything right. And the Republicans have officially, well, no, the Rumblers. The Rumblers started playing. The Rumblers.
The Rumblers is the new guy who's coming on like gangbusters.
The Republicans are about to catch and pass the Red Suns.
Yep, and hello, Bob Smith is not far behind, as yep. You were definitely correct. Bob Smith has just left his team to die with zero starts on
yeah,
those
I just texted him.
Charge.
Let's see if he texted back, because he did send some odds that we may or may not use. No, he's dodging now. He's dodging.
Well, I mean, what's he going to say?
Yeah, I said, you quit our fantasy league? 0 points, question mark? Hello, Bob Smith.
That's a great one. Hello.
Hello.
McFly.
And now it's that time of the week where we do the Dirty Hippie Tippy. Huh. No Rich York this week.
I'm playing it.
What do you...
You don't hear it?
You know, well, we didn't get a call in. What do you think that has to do with?
Maybe the fact that there's no race this weekend.
Yeah, maybe there's no race this weekend. But
you I know
a
what's
fantasy
really going on.
I think it has something to do with something
Dodging.
Else.
Dodge this, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I think Rich
He's
took in...
He's cowering in the fetal position.
The Sunday morning Formula One race, the Spanish Grand Prix, and witnessed one of the single greatest drives in the history of our lives. Fernando Alonso and Ferrari ascending to the top of the Formula One world... And dominate in Red Bullian fashion the race from start to finish. Moving from fifth to third on the first lap, then picking off Sebastian Vettel. And moving to the front. And I've translated the words of this. It's not pretty violent. Violent song.
Talent, well, I was going to say, I'm sure it's a couple hundred years old.
Yeah, it's pretty violent. No, it's not a couple hundred years old. But... Anyway, I have to say that it was a very good race. It was very exciting, and I don't know how many more we're going to get like that. What happened was Ferrari decided they're going to stop this tire-saving nonsense and just run all out and wear them down and
what
make an extra
concept.
Stop. And it worked. But Red Bull complained, and now Pirelli is changing the tires. Pirelli is basically saying that we don't want the tires to degrade as quickly because they say it doesn't make for good racing.
Pirelli or Red Bull doesn't want them to degrade that quickly?
Red Bull doesn't want them. And some other manufacturers as well. I'm just pointing out Red Bull because that's Rich's guys. And Pirelli is going to change the tires. But now everyone is talking about it, saying that, oh, this is just Red Bull politicking. But it doesn't matter at this point. Because here comes Ferrari. And let me tell you, Alonso, if he keeps driving like that, there's nothing anyone's going to do. He's not fighting with a stick this year like he was last year. A piece of garbage dragging an anchor. He is driving a real car. The car is quick, and it's just a matter of circumstances. Points leader continues to be Vettel, though. 89, Kimi Raikkonen is second with 85. Alonso moves up to third with 72 points. Lewis Hamilton is fourth with 50. Those guys look dead in the water. As far as
they don't have the over, I mean, I guess they're fast on the one lap in the qualifying. They don't have race speed.
Who can contend for the title? Red Bull can contend for the title with Vettel. Ferrari can contend for the title with Alonso. Raikkonen can contend with the for the title, Renault.
Raikkonen, another guy right there.
Pretty much it, though, right? That's it? Unlike last year, Button is dead in the water. He's got 17 points. He's not going to come storming up that much. You're not going to see the
McLaren. No, the McLaren just doesn't have it.
The McLaren just doesn't have it, and I know why, and I understand why. And they're even going to have it less in the coming weeks. This is going to be a three-horse race, I think. Vettel, Raikkonen, Alonso. And you're going to see it go down to the wire, and I think Fernando Alonso is going to win. As far as constructors, this is where it really gets interesting, because Red Bull has got 131, and they've got a very angry, irritable Mark Webber, and Ferrari has got 117 with Felipe Massa, good old Phil Massa, who we love and supported this whole time. Right? Total support for
backed
Massa.
Backed him 110% all the time.
That's what I hate.
We said that he was hurt.
Yep.
And that he needed to be given the opportunity to show that he could come back. And
the man
here
was
he
hit.
Is. He was injured. Clearly.
He was hit by a spring, man. Come on. You got to cut this guy some slack. Massa.
Look, he was not racing the way he's raced at the last handful of races last year and the way he's come out this year.
That's why I hate
for
these
whatever
fair
reason
weather
it was,
fans. These people.
He was
that,
not racing that way.
They twist in the wind like a well-lubricated weather vane.
Maybe someone sat him down and explained to him that he's the number two guy, that he's never going to be number one, and that he might as well be a good teammate.
Well, whatever it is, he's currently running better now. And all I know is we love Felipe. If he keeps doing that kind of stuff, getting on the podium. Ferrari, 117. Lotus, 111. Third in the Constructors. And there's your horse race for the Constructors title. Mercedes has 72. Force India, great year so far, 32. McLaren, 29. Now, what's up with the other teams? Look, this is the final year of this engine package and rules package. And next year, everything is totally different, turned upside down. And a lot of teams are going to throw in the towel on this rules package. Ferrari, Red Bull, Lotus cannot. So I'm predicting right now that one of the teams that is stinking out the joint, like McLaren, is going to win the title next year because they're already working on that. They're probably throwing their hands in the air on this year. It might be by design. It might be by design. Like, why bother in the final year of this rules package with Sergio Perez, a new driver, all this turmoil, let's just plan ahead for next year. Wouldn't you be willing to do that?
Definitely. It worked for Braun.
It worked for Braun with the Super Aguri guys. Yeah. They were working on
the Super Friends.
Yeah, the Super Best Friends. First it was Super Aguri, then it was Super Friends, and it was the Super Best Friends. Now there are some other...
Hey, real quickly, how about the announcers just... First of all, I was shocked that they were actually bashing McLaren because, you know, they're not very capable of doing that.
Yeah.
But they were right after Jenson Button. He stinks. He's out. Sergio Perez is clearly their sweetheart darling now.
Yep. They just kind of crapped on the champion, Jenson Button.
Yeah. You know, they got rid of Hamilton because Button was the guy, and now Button is not the guy?
No. Now Perez is the guy.
Get out of here with that.
I am generally against. I know we're kind of in the media, kind of. But the media in general is sick and needs help badly. And here's the deal. I want everybody to know this, okay? The storyline of everything is this. Who's not getting it done and about to be replaced by someone else? There you go. Apply it to everything. Basketball coach. Is the head coach getting it done? Who's the pressure on? Is the pressure on this guy? Is someone about to replace him? That is the storyline for everything. Football, baseball, basketball, baseball managers, the shortstops, the New York Yankees. Is Jeter, has he lost a step? Has he lost a step? Is Jeter, is someone about to replace him? And the answer for years was no, and then eventually they're going to be right. Eventually you're going to be right. Jenson Button, this guy has been driving great for McLaren. He wins in the rain. He's obviously fast. 1 year they have a bad car, clearly. He's out. That's it. Who's next? Who's
his
next
fault.
Guy? It's horrible. It's horrible how unnecessarily they try to trump up interest.
There has to be something for people to talk about.
Like all those
the time.
People who were attacking Felipe Massa for all that time. Now,
do we know any of them?
No.
Good, thank God.
Yeah, well, I would consider ourselves loyal fans. Some other news regarding Formula One. The German daily Süddeutsche Zeitung.
Old Heidelberg?
Yeah. Munich prosecutor has filed charges against Bernie Ecclestone.
Ay vey.
In the Formula One bribery scandal. Remember all that Max Mosley stuff that was going on a few years ago? Boy, wasn't that interesting with the sex and the deviant sex?
So much more interesting than bribery scandals.
Yeah. Ecclestone is set to be charged with bribing a public official as well as abetting breach of fiduciary duty. He has yet to be charged. It will take some time for the legal documents to be translated into English and handed to the Formula One Supremo and his lawyers last June. Bayer LB Banker was so-and-so guilty of taking $44 million in bribes from Ecclestone relating to the sale of Formula One to CVC, the private equity investor which owns most of the sport. So-and-so was found guilty of failing to pay tax on that money, which is how they got to Bernie. You know, who knows? These are all allegations. One thing I know is not an allegation, and our final thought in the world of Formula One, we normally consider this a very family-oriented program. However, in this case, we're going to delve beyond the family world to have polite, family-oriented, or at least family-friendly talk about the month, this month's Playboy, which
That's
features
right.
Tamara Ecclestone, Bernie's daughter.
The diamond heiress,
yes.
quote-unquote.
Look.
It's a headline.
What can I say to you folks out there?
Good-looking girl.
She's a beautiful young lady.
Good-looking girl.
I'm very surprised that she would be in the Playboy, but
it's
a good decision. I think they made her look like just gorgeous. I think the photographs are extremely classy. I think that normally I don't really – I'm not a subscriber to Playboy. And when I read it,
yeah,
I just read
whatever.
It for the
you
articles.
Just read the articles.
Well,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
at some friend of mine's house who gets it that I know, who happens to be very close at this moment in this room. And so every once in a while, I'll flip through it for the articles.
Of course.
And, you know, over the years with Hef and his multiple wives and all that stuff, he's kind of, I think the magazine has spun out of control a little bit. A lot of plastic stuff, a lot of phony stuff,
a lot of Barbie dolls.
Barbie doll, bleached blonde, you know, perfect for the era of the early 2000s with all the fake money and fake everything, fake. This is real. One thing about Tamara Ecclestone, she's real. That's real. That's all real. She's the daughter of a multi-billionaire. She's a billionaire heiress of auto racing supremo Bernie Ecclestone, and now she is in Playboy, which I hear is written at a very high level of the English language, which is why I read it.
It sure is.
A lot of informative articles. But I would recommend it. Right?
Definitely.
I mean,
I would say you should check it out just so that you can know what Bernie Ecclestone's daughter looked like.
Simple as that. And you, and because, you know, you have to say, you could be, you could learn about,
you know, whenever some celebrity poses in the magazine, you have to just see it so that you can say you saw it. We all saw Madonna when she did her thing and didn't look very good.
Right. Way back in the day.
We were just kids then.
This is a, well, I saw it when I was 18. Went back in the archive because it's illegal to walk, right? No?
Not me, man. I saw that when it first came out. I saw that sex book right away.
Breaking the law. All right. You shouldn't. Okay. Back to the family friendly. Earmuffs.
Close your ears, children. Close your ears.
All the kids out there. I don't think we have a lot of kid listeners, and I don't think we have a lot of female listeners. I think we've got a lumberjack.
But we do have somebody that listens to the show with their kid in the car on the way to
school. Yeah, that's Hockey Dad. He's
already. No, man. Hockey Kid is not a child.
Hockey Kid's a child. That's the kid, guy who listens in the car on the way to hockey practice.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. We got one kid out there listening. And we got no women. No ladies out there. Zero. No ladies.
Prove it.
This is a lumberjack party we
if
got
you're
going
there,
on, which
prove
is fine.
It.
We're going to ramp up the salacious talk. That's what we're going to do.
Locker room talk.
We're going to ramp
coming
it up.
Coming at you next.
It actually sounds, that sounds really good. We could do a separate show. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back and wrap this thing up because we've got to talk about the Indy 500.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They call them like this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now.
WFO.
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 WFO!
WFO.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO! So do you think we trashed Rich York appropriately? Is it enough?
No, clearly not enough. He calls and mocks me for everything, for being terrible, for absorbing.
Should we go Ric Flair on him?
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Rich, what do you think about that? Woo! You're dealing with a dealer and we're holding all the cards, baby. Rich, you might not like it, but you better learn to love it because there's nothing you can do about it. Woo! There you go.
That's right. There you go. That was a little better.
We had to get after him. No, it was very exciting when Alonso crossed the stripe. That was a great drive. And What are you going to do? But we have our own big race, open wheel race here in the month of May. The Indy 500 is ramping up. And the problem is that the NBC Sports Channel, people are having a tough time finding it. I've been talking to a lot of people, and they are having a tough time finding NBC
Sports.
I'm going to
do my PSA right here.
Break it down.
NBC Sports Network is channel 220 on DirecTV. So that's all I got for you, folks.
There it is.
That's what I got for you. That's what I do.
There it is.
Helping you out. It's actually a lot easier to find now than when it was in 603.
On Versus?
Yeah.
Listen, it's still the greatest spectacle in racing. You got to see it a couple of years ago. The Indy 500 is great. I think that the IndyCar series, I don't know. I don't know what's up. But I am excited about the month of May and the Indy 500 and just getting down to it, enjoying the whole Memorial Day weekend experience. Now, we did just get the odds in. Kurt Busch, by the way, passed rookie orientation, which that is very big. So next year, if he chooses to run the Indy 500, which I think he will, and I think that would be great for him, I think that will bring additional attention to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They're going to get big ratings. The Indy 500 is going to be huge. It's always exciting. Starting the season off with all these road and street course races, I don't know if it's the best way to run this series.
Yeah, I don't think I like that either. I think that at the very least they should go back and forth. It's a little... It's disinteresting.
Our listeners don't seem very interested in the IndyCar series over the past couple of years. Now, maybe that's our fault. Maybe we're falling into the sports talk radio if we were talking about it. I know I just got an invitation for Monday interviews down here at Bayside, which is a tourist joint down here. And one of the great people at the IndyCar series sent an invite to go down and meet them. Well, I went down there, or I looked at it. First of all, I will be returning home from Kansas, so I will be unable to. But look who they sent. Carlos Munoz, Sebastian Saavedra, Oriel Servia, EJ Viso. Good driver, especially
no, yeah,
Oriel.
No, here,
and EJ's
you know what happened.
Okay.
They sent the guys that live right around the corner.
Where's Elia? Where's TK? Where's Ryan Hunter-Reay?
Yeah.
They all live here. Ryan Hunter-Reay. Why isn't any one of those guys coming? So they're sending like the X squad to come down and interview here. We would not be available anyway because we're traveling back from Kansas, but I don't know. But I will be definitely crowded around the TV and the radio for the greatest spectacle in racing. Hey, we're not going to do picks this week, but do you want to make our picks without Bob Smith and Tommy Noodles? Because I have the odds right here.
Sure, I'm all.
Just to make it difficult, though, Bob sent them upside down.
They usually are.
Jimmy Johnson's 3-1. Matt Kenseth is 3-1, and they're all in not order either. Denny Hamlin is 12-1. Brad Keselowski is 15-1, along with Casey Kane. Clint Boyer is 10-1. Jeff Gordon is 16-1. Tony Stewart is 35-1. What? Wow.
He doesn't have speed. Mile and a half track.
Yeah. Greg Biffle, 18-1. Dale Jr., 13-1. Truex, 25-1. They're all out of order. Carl Edwards, 12-1. Kevin Harvick, 16-1. Joy, 50-1. Ryan Newman, 100-1. Ryan Newman's angry at NASCAR because they are ignoring him. That's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I did see that. I guess he's upset. That's why he said what he said, and he wanted some kind of response, and he's waiting.
Yeah, he said what he said. He wanted a response, and guess what? No response. So they're just kind of letting him twist. Hey, I threw a tantrum to get you guys to notice me, and you're not noticing me. Why not? And that's kind of the way it all went down. Or you could just say what you think. Now, we did mention at the beginning of the show, I guess we're not going to make the picks because it's upside down. But this was interesting. Speeding on pit road is now legal, at least in qualifying for Saturday's Sprint All-Star Race, says David Newton from ESPN.com. I think this is interesting. In an attempt to spice up qualifying, pit road speeds that are strictly enforced in races will be lifted for Friday night's three-lap trip around Charlotte Motor Speedway that includes a mandatory four-tire pit stop. Greg Biffle anticipates cars will come down pit road in excess of 100 miles per hour, well over the 45 used in races. That drivers will push the limit and lose control, ending up in the infield grass. I agree, and I like it. I'm all for it.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, that's dangerous.
Biffle says, it's like, hey, can you make it from the balcony into the pool without hitting the pool deck? There's only one way to find out. You do all the calculating you want, but you've got to try it. Another tweak announced Wednesday will allow the winner of the Sprint Fan Vote from the showdown to advance into the main event without being on the lead lap as long as the car is in raceable condition, as determined by Sprint Cup Rules Director John Darby. Some have dubbed the car the Danica Patrick Rule, noting that the popular Stuart Haas racer could benefit.
Why? They think she's going to wreck and...
Well, remember, you had to be on the lead lap.
Oh, now on the lead lap. Okay.
Now you don't have to be on the lead lap anymore. David Reagan says, I don't need to say any names. We can all assume and make pretty good guesses. There are usually good reasons for making any rules change, i.e. Danica is an all-star, and currently she can't get in if she doesn't stay on the lead lap. But I know a lot of people out there are going to be burned by that. I would like to see Danica be able to stay on the lead lap and not have it come into play. And she might.
It'll be fine.
Reagan says, I don't think that's right. You need to be competitive. It's a contradicting rule, so you can't be torn up. So you can't be torn up and get in, but if you're slow and not on the lead lap, why should you be in the All-Star race? In my opinion, that's not a good rule in the intent of the All-Star race.
No, you know what? Allow me to retort, David Reagan.
Yeah, do it.
The whole point of the All-Star race is a fan race for the stars that they want to see there.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, David, Danica is a much bigger star than you are. That's it.
Yeah, but his points that he makes are all true.
It doesn't matter. Look, if she's voted in, she's voted in.
It's not an all-star race. It's like an MVP race or a winner's race. It's a race you can't get in there without having won something.
But there's a fan vote, and that's the whole point. So what difference does it make? If I got voted in, I'm in. It doesn't matter as long as the car can run, period.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, even if you end up 50 laps down.
Irrelevant. I got voted in.
I'm in. Well, Danica is going to get voted in forever. That's it. They might as well just put...
She's going to get herself in there one of these days. I'm going out on a limb, and I'm going to say Danica Patrick will indeed win a NASCAR race one day.
A Sprint Cup race?
A Sprint Cup race.
Wow. Okay.
At the big boy
really
level.
It's good for you to say that.
Thank you.
That's nice. Like, really, what is the downside of saying that?
There's no
downside at all. Just say it, right?
Well, come on, what's wrong with
Danica
my position?
Danica Patrick is going to win the Daytona 500 someday.
That's probably the race that she stands the best chance
that?
Of winning.
I just trumped you.
Now is she going to win
you
before Tony Stewart?
Listen, that is neither here nor there. Danica Patrick wins the Daytona 500 someday in the future.
That's great.
It's going to happen. We're just making predictions left and right. Kurt Busch says, heck, we have trouble sliding through our pit box going 45. I can only imagine what's going to happen. Oh, that's Reagan. Watch out, Kurt Busch. I know he's going to be coming down hard.
Look, and takes a shot at Kurt.
Yeah.
He's upset because Kurt took his ride.
Maybe. We'll do that only for qualifying and only for the All-Star race because we can control the environment and it'll be clean down there. It's an opportunity to do something on a weekend that's known for different stuff, says Mike Helton. I like it. And the race will consist of 4 20-lap segments, a 10-lap shootout, with the winner collecting $1 million. But Bruton says he'll offer a second million if a driver can win all 5 segments. But qualifying is already going to be the biggest spectacle, and we'll make sure to watch that. Gio, you want to make picks, man? I know we're coming to the end of this program.
Let's do it.
I told the audience we were, and then we weren't.
You got a little confused with the upside-down situation.
We had a very private conversation about you, me and the audience, when you stepped out of the room.
It's all right.
No big
deal. It's probably all true.
I gave the odds. Like I said, it's upside-down, and I don't have a way to turn it over. So you want to make your favorite pick? Even though I should go first because...
Oh, you go first. You pick the winner.
This doesn't count. I go first next week, too. You know that.
Yes, yes.
For the Coca-Cola 600.
And since it's only you and I...
All right, I'm taking Jimmy Johnson.
Well, that'll do it.
I'll take Jimmy Johnson as my favorite and as my upside-down dark horse. I will take...
I guess it should be a showdown, like doing one all-star, one showdown, instead of picking like a favorite and a dark horse.
Oh, man. You know what? The thing I'm looking at is to win the Sprint Cup champion. I'm totally destroying this segment, folks. I apologize.
All right, here,
for my
you want
ineptitude.
Me to go over it real quick?
What'd you do? Bring it up on your phone and turn your phone upside down?
Exactly.
That's genius. I'm looking at a computer here. I just can't deal with it. Normally, I consider myself pretty smart, but.
I'll go real quick.
Not today.
All-Star race. Kyle Busch, favorite, 7-2. Then you got Matt Kenseth and Jimmy at 6-1.
KFK at 8-1, and Carl Edwards at 12-1.
Those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick.
And Denny Hamlin at 9-1.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
And then we got
Brad.
Oh, sorry. Brad is 12-1. You are right. They are mixed up. 12-1.
And the field is 10-1.
The field is.
That's technically a favorite bet.
Wow, I guess you're right.
First
then we got
ever.
Biffle and Gordon at 15, along with Bowyer and Harvick. Those four guys are all 15-1. You got Tony and Joy at 25-1.
You said that perfectly.
Kurt at 30, Mark Martin at 35, and Ryan Newman at 40. Those are your all-star race participants.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Let's see. Yeah, and we're not going to do picks for the showdown because Bob and Tom are not here. You noticed there was no Tommy time, right? Tommy gets 2 minutes on the show. Tommy could to do anything with it.
That's what I'm saying. There's no reason for him not to have done it.
There's no reason for him not to have done it.
Correct.
So what's going on with Tommy time?
Tommy's out there on the side of the road selling them oranges.
You know, man, he's got this Idiots in a Box show that's consuming his life. He's out there tweeting every 2 seconds, and immediately he thinks he's so big now he doesn't need to do Tommy time. That's clearly what's going on. Did he make a pick? No.
No.
Tommy time?
No.
What's up with that?
Where are you?
Yeah, Tommy Noodles. All right, I'm going to take Jimmy Johnson as my favorite because I think they got a good feel for this track. And Double J with the new car is going to win all the important races in the new car. And as far as the dark horse, give me the total super homer pick, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Especially since he's 15-1 and I can actually
All right,
that
that's
pick.
Not terrible.
Go for it.
All right, me. I'm really tempted to go with Kenseth, being that he's overall best driver so far this year.
I would.
But I'm going to go a little bit down the street. Give me Kyle.
Kyle Busch.
He's hot. He's on fire.
Fire.
And it's not a big, long race. It's only a short sprint. He should be able to maintain the equipment for just 100 laps.
Yeah, there it is.
So give me Kyle.
Kyle Busch.
And for the long shot, I am not going to be you and be a total homer. I'm not going to pick Tony Stewart because he doesn't have any speed.
Slow.
That's just it. You can't win on the mile and a half tracks if you don't have speed.
Slow.
So give me Kevin Harvick, the closer.
The closer. Okay.
There you have it.
And there it is. And now Tommy Noodles and Bob Smith. Oh, yeah. We shouldn't blame Bob. At least he got us the odds in time to get in on the show.
He sure did.
But Tommy, no excuse, Tommy Noodles. No Tommy time. We've got people tweeting in right now, tweeting, where's Tommy time? What's up, Tommy time? By the way, follow us on Twitter, WFO Radio, and Facebook. And don't forget to download the app. Well, there it is. We made our picks. Joe takes Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr., and the great Giovanni in Miami takes Kyle Busch and...
The closer.
Joy.
No. Harvick, man.
Kevin Harvick. Closer. For the All-Star race, which I'm very exciting, but the qualifying, I agree. That's what I'm interested in. But most importantly, I will be headed to Topeka, Kansas.
You are in Kansas now.
Yes. I've been instructed to not make any jokes like that at all. That the Kansas people are very against it.
That we are in Kansas? All right.
No Wizard of Oz jokes. You might be beaten up.
All right.
Hey, I guess we're in Kansas anymore. You'll be beaten to death. But I'm looking forward to it. Big thanks to everyone for dealing with us and appreciate you guys understanding about the new time. Feel like things went smoother. Also want to remind you, if you like poker, I was checking out some of our Twitter followers, and I know you guys like poker. Check out Poker Action Line with Big Dave Lemon. You can subscribe on iTunes, search Poker Action Line. You can follow them on Facebook and Twitter, Poker Action Line. Big Dave and Joe, great guys, funny guys. They talk poker strategy and they interview the stars of poker right here in the WFO studios, which when they're doing it, it's the Poker Action Line studio.
That's very accurate.
Giovanni is very knowledgeable about all of that. Also, download the application, the app. It's out of control. It's running wild. And gift it to your friends. We're tracking the app downloads. We're up since we moved on from...
Through the roof.
2,100%.
Woo!
Yeah, it's just outrageous. But we certainly love you guys out there and appreciate it. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. Support the show! And that's going to do it. Oh, and get the... you might want to check out Tamara Ecclestone. You know, that's my big super tip of the week. Super tip of the week.
Easy on the eyes.
Tamara Ecclestone. Do some Formula One research. Get more familiar with the sport. I highly recommend it. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll see you in Kansas, and we'll be back next week. Don't forget, download the show, subscribe to everything. See you next time.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.